I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. The Daily Journal is your daily dose of constitution and principle in the face of fake news and political propaganda. I just want to mention to you today that I have something stuck in my crawl. I'm just going to start off by letting you know that I'm really reached my limit of irritation with this particular subject, and I'm going to cover it today. So if I sound a little hyped up, understand that I am trying to restrain myself to deliver this in an unemotional, logical kind of manner, but I'm really kind of very, very irritated. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, and he is feeling better today. I want to thank everybody for their prayers. Did you know that we had messages of people praying for you because I had told them on the air yesterday that you weren't feeling well?
I appreciate it.
Isn't that awesome? We have a great bunch of people who listen to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, and they're praying for us every day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That makes me feel
good. We need it.
I know, we do. Especially in light of the way we are attacked for no reason whatsoever. So it is...
That's nothing new.
Oh, I know, right? What do they say? If you're not being attacked, you're not over the target?
Right.
Right? So here we go. Some time ago, some years ago, and I'm just going to say this straight out, we've talked about this on the show, Michael Ferris did a webinar on the Convention of the States.
Right.
Now, our assistant Janet attended that webinar.
Right.
Because on behalf of us and for her own information, right? Because we're always researching new things. We want to understand positions, especially when they deal with constitutional issues.
Yeah.
And people like Michael Ferris, who is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I
but we hadn't been in that conversation or
dealt
with that topic.
No, I've never at that point in time, I had never really talked to Michael Ferris about his perspective on Convention of the States. I know he's a very busy man. I could pick up my phone and text him and he would, you know, he always quickly responds to me when I text him. But I figure, you know, why bother him directly when it's something that I can know in a man. At that webinar, a very well-known history teacher made the comment and the observation, errantly, I'll just go ahead and preface with, that I, Chris Ann Hall, I am an enemy of Article 5.
I thought you said enemy of the Constitution or something.
Well, an enemy of Article 5 is the equivalent of
But you're an enemy of the Constitution.
But we've heard people interpret what he has said and repeat that he said that I am an enemy to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, we know for a fact that this whole thing happened because our assistant Janet was watching. This was a live webinar.
Right.
Okay? Well, I immediately pick up the phone and start texting Michael Ferris. What in the world is going on? Mm-hmm. What is this premise that y'all are apparently under the impression that I am an enemy to the Constitution, I'm an enemy to Article 5? Where do you get that? Mm-hmm. And we got into this conversation about my a radio series.
Yeah, where you went through the congressional report on conventions.
I went through, it's a 5-day series. Went back a couple years ago when I was doing the Daily Show Monday through Friday. And I went through the congressional research summary, the decades of publicational research that Congress has been doing on what a future Article 5 convention would look like, their power, and how the federal government fits in all of that.
I know I can say unequivocally, listening, obviously I hear a good number of your presentations live in that show, you've never really taken a position for or against the idea of the convention. Of course, fifth article of the Constitution, like you can't take a position against the fifth article of the Constitution saying, you know what, you don't think it should be there or whatever. But you have all of those things. You basically share the founders' positions, questions, concern. You shared Congress's opinions and what they say to inform the people to make their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually purposely stayed out of this discussion. We're not in that battle. And really, because of this, because of some of the stuff you're talking about, it seems to me that they're children on both sides. It's just incredible how these people behave. And I'm not talking the pro Article 5 people only. I'm talking both sides, the pro and anti-convention people. It's like they cannot have an adult conversation with one another. And then this stuff that's going on, is just start making up stuff. And attacking one another or who they think is not on their side.
It's this idea, it's this tribalism. And the tribalism reverts back to this war that they have going on is a war between the Convention of States presentation on the amendment of the Constitution and nullification.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a position on either side,
then you're anti the other
side. You're anti the other side.
According to their interpretation.
Very, very viciously
do
both sides treat people. Okay? I have, and I have never in 8 years, never said anything that could be remotely interpreted as a disparaging or condescending remark on any single person on either side of the camp.
No, never.
Never. You know what's ironic, though?
Now, you've been attacked several times by prominent people.
Continuously attacked by prominent people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Prominent even in people. The face of that, you never named and...
Never. Because, number attacked. One, it's not my battle.
Right.
My job is to bring the people the Constitution absent my opinions. Mm-hmm. Okay? If I pick one side or the other, now I am interjecting my opinion into my teaching. And you know, for 8 years, that is probably the one thing that I have been maybe to a detriment or something, I have worked very, very hard to ensure that my opinions are not injected into my teaching. It's all about bringing the history and the words of the people to create the reality.
So
not me.
So now the latest something has set you off.
Yes,
you said
I'm
these
done.
People are over the top.
I am done with this. So I get a message from my friends in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not going to mention people's names. All right, because this is not about anybody in particular, it's about me being fed up with the entire situation, okay? So I get messages from my friends in Kansas, and in Kansas, for some reason, this is a vicious battlefront.
Yeah, like Hatfield and McCoy.
It is, seriously, in Kansas, they're ready to lynch each other, okay? And so
fellow conservatives, fellow liberty lovers who have a different view on how to approach this, they want to kill each other.
Yes, it's just crazy. And so here's the thing. I get a message from my Kansas friends that once again, I am being attacked on Facebook, not just simply, misstating my presentations, but literally, once again, calling me an enemy.
Yeah.
Right?
This time, completely fabricating something.
Fabricating something. So the word is out on Facebook, apparently, that I, you know, it's just so ridiculous, that I am at war. This is the term. I am at war with Tara Ross. Now, most people who are interested in American history, interested in the Founding Fathers, interested in the Constitution, know Tara Ross. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tara Ross is a Facebook personality. Mm-hmm. I think she may even be an attorney, but I don't really know.
Sure. I don't because remember.
I, to be honest, which is quite interesting, I know very little about her. Okay, mm-hmm. I know that Janet attended a class.
We know her work and her posts and stuff, which is good stuff, really.
And I know she does really some teaching, like I do, where she goes to group meetings and teach. Because Janet,
I thought she was a journalist. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So Janet went to one of her meetings in Texas, and so she makes regular. She's a Facebook personality, and what she does is she just simply creates memes about historical people and historical events that go around the period of the revolution.
Well, I think she has websites. She has, you know, articles, historical.
Right. No, that's right. She does. She writes articles too. But see, this just proves how little I know about her.
Right.
Okay, so number one.
Other than she does good work.
Good work.
Yeah.
Once again, I've never said anything bad about her. And as a matter of fact, I have actually referred people to her.
Yeah. But you never had a personal interaction.
I have never had a
good
personal.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. I can tell you that when I have had a conflict to attend certain events, when I have been unable to attend certain events by invitation, I've actually told people, why don't you think about Tara Ross?
Yeah.
So I've actually...
That's an odd-sounding war that you're describing.
I know, right? Where I'm actually telling people, I'm not available, but would you consider this person, right? So apparently, the word on Facebook that is being put out is that I am at war with Tara Ross over this convention estate stuff.
Yeah, you said to me you didn't know she even had a position on convention estates.
I didn't even know she had a position on convention of the states. I mean, seriously.
Not that we care.
No, I don't care. It's not my stinking battle. And it's not a battle that I want to be in because it distracts from the purpose of our mission. And when we get back from the break, I'm not done talking about this. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. And I'm just tiny bit upset about this. I've been dealing with this now for like 5 years. And I'm telling you, I'm done with it. I am Chris Ann Hall. I have with me my husband and co-host JC Hall. And I'm sick and tired of being dragged into this tribalistic war of pro-con convention of the states. I don't deserve this treatment. I simply do not. And so not only is it being asserted that I am at war with Tara Ross, and I don't have direct contact with Tara Ross. I've never spoken to the woman. I admire what she does. So those of you who are listening, if any of you are friends with her, please let her know I am not at war with her, nor have I ever said anything that would be contrary to what she's done. I've only praised her and, you know, maybe... It's because we are not tribalistic here. Our mission has been from the get-go decidedly not tribalistic. Mm-hmm. That people can't believe that we would be strong, passionate teachers of the Constitution and not have a position. And since we have created that void...
That camp thinks everything revolves around that issue.
It's just crazy. So here we go. Yeah, that is something that we want to make sure that we address. But not only, apparently, am I at war with Tara Ross, mm-hmm. not only, according to the webinar, am I an enemy of the Constitution, mm-hmm. but I am also, let me put it this way. I have also said, according to these people, that Article 5, not Convention of the States, that Article 5 is unconstitutional.
The fifth article of the Constitution is unconstitutional?
Yes. That is what, those are the words that these people are putting in my mouth. Hmm. How is it that the fifth article of the Constitution, which, by the way, is an original portion of the Constitution. Uh-huh. I will say to you that the 16th Amendment is unconstitutional. I will say to you that the 17th Amendment is unconstitutional. But because it's not part of the original Constitution, and mm-hmm. it is contrary to the principles of the constitutional original intent. Mm-hmm. But I cannot, nor would I ever claim that the fifth article of the Constitution, drafted by the founders, is unconstitutional. I don't even know how that's what you call a paradox.
I don't. It's a contradiction. For
contradiction
sure.
of terms. Yeah,
it's really strange. Just I mean, a lot of these statements that we've run into with these folks have not been logical and reasonable.
No, and here's the thing: that probably irritates me more than anything. We have actually published teachings on the fifth article of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I have an entire chapter in my book, Sovereign Duty. I did a week-long survey, like we said, on the old Daily Show, which yeah. is still in our podcast archives.
Well, I've
written articles.
Well, I think because you mention, I mean, you quote the founders' concerns, because like James Madison, some of them actually said critical things about a potential convention, right? So the fact that it's critical of convention, even though you're quoting James Madison, et cetera, they take exception to that. So they say those are, I don't know, somehow it gets twisted that you're against. They listen to you quoting Madison, who says, I have concerns about a future convention. And then they take that as your words and say it's criticism against the convention. Your position, as I've listened to, your position has always been, and you've said this over and over again, here are the concerns that the founders expressed. Here are the concerning things that Congress has said. And you say, if we're going to have a convention, can we discuss the protections that we're going to have to guard against these concerns and to mm-hmm. guard against Congress's scary things that they've signaled that they're going to try to do?
And, you know, not only that, I talk about...
It's like saying, I'd like you to wear a helmet, you know, when you do this stunt, like is what you're saying. When you do the stunt, wear a helmet. And then they're saying, oh, Chris Ann is anti-stunts.
Right, right. Not only that. Okay, so not only that, nobody else is talking in detail about what Congress has perceived to be the federal role in an Article 5 amendment process. And they don't want to hear that either.
There again, men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find strange. For I am not.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I am Chris Ann Hall. We are found at chrisannhall.com. K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. If you want to know my teaching on the fifth article of the Constitution. We have lots of resources available at chrisannhall.com. We have articles, we have books, we have DVDs. I have a course on, actually have a two-part course at Liberty First University on the fifth article of the Constitution, because it takes two parts to teach it. It's a very detailed and complex portion of the Constitution.
Well, it has two separate parts.
It has
talks
two separate
about
parts.
The regular amendment process through Congress, you know, alone, and with ratification of states, obviously, and but then also it talks about the sort of outside, you know, outs. I don't know how to say it, but the convention, you know, that's not necessarily initiated by Congress. Let's say it that way.
So this is my husband and co-host J.C. Hall. I forgot to introduce him in this segment, but let me mention to you. Once again, I've never said anything contrary to the Constitution, only, as you said, set out warnings. You see, this is if we want to amend the Constitution using the fifth article of the Constitution, and that amendment process is proposed to follow the track of a convention of the states, we have to know that there will be a battle over that.
Sure, of course.
There will be a battle over that.
That's a given.
Yeah, it's a given. And my perspective is, no general goes to war without knowing in detail the objects of the enemy.
Yeah.
You would be stupid to enter into a war and say, well, you know, it's there. We just got to fight it. We'll see what happens when we go.
Yeah, see what happens when we get there.
We'll see what happens when we get there. Are you freaking kidding me?
Let's start the war. And then we'll figure it out once we get on the battlefield.
We'll figure it out while we're going, right?
Yeah.
And so my perspective is, okay, this is part of the Constitution. We have a track within the Constitution to amend the Constitution through a convention of the states.
Right.
So before we get into this process, we get into this known war, why don't we discern the battle and prepare for it?
Right. And you're specifically talking about, here's what Madison said, here's what Mason said, here's what the people who wrote it said. Have we addressed their concerns?
Yeah, have we addressed their concerns? And this is exactly, we don't have to guess what Congress thinks it's going
to look like. You already have an enemy waiting on you.
You have an enemy waiting on you, waiting to co-opt the entire process and turn it into a corrupted political function.
And they've already said what they're going to do, so what are you going to do about that?
Not just simply said, but published.
Yeah.
Published several times. So here's the thing.
It's
what are we going to do?
This has been going on for 50 years, right?
Yes. No, at least
the survey was.
The survey.
Went back 50 years.
50, yes.
The congressional report.
50 years. Well,
because that was an interesting thing. We were in a meeting, I think last month, and I forget where we were exactly, but one of the folks mentioned the convention and was saying, yeah, this is a new thing. And I said, no, it's not new.
It's not
a new thing. I said,
it's
this 50 years they've been trying it at least, and Congress has a report that goes back 50 years.
Well, here's the thing. There's no reason for us to run in there blind.
Yeah, right.
There's no reason to go in and let's just figure it out as we go along. Yeah. Everything we need to know is already published and in writing.
So it's curious. It still is curious. It always curious to me when this comes up. So when you quote, let me say this on the end of this, but you quote the founders' concerns, not your concerns, the founders' concerns. You quote Congress taking an adversarial position and stating their corrupt opinions and how they would corrupt the process. So none of that is from you. None of that is your opinions.
No.
None of that is your evaluation or judgment. But
now let
listen,
me say this now, before you, wait a minute, let me say this. I have said that I do share their concerns,
yeah,
and I see value in their concerns.
In the sense of
let's address these things.
Let's don't go in blind. Let's address these things. These concerns have been validly stated by the men who crafted the very document. The ones who went through a convention themselves, right?
Right.
We haven't done it, but the guys who are expressing these concerns, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But so here's the funny thing I want to mention in light of all that I just said. I've witnessed and been involved in several conversations with the leaders of these movements.
Yes.
Mr. Ferris, who was very nice, we had a very wonderful conversation.
We just talked
to someone recently.
We had an in-person conversation in the Kansas Capitol with Mark Mettler.
So at the end of every one of these. It's been about five or six of these guys in leadership and in the movement, and who have somehow had the position to one degree or another that you're an enemy of right. the process.
Right.
At the end of every single conversation, it turns out the same.
With me.
Yes. They say, wow, Chrisanne, you're not as, like the last guy, you're not as bad as they make you sound. And what you're saying actually makes sense.
Right.
And I see some of your concerns, and some have said I share some of your concerns. So the conversation always basically ends of them saying, what you're saying is valid. What you're saying is not an attack on convention of states. We hear you, and that's reasonable. That's at the end of every conversation you've had. At least while they're standing in front of us, that's what they say.
So here's my point, and I every time I see this, I am involved in this idiocy. This quote from Patrick Henry comes to me. Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? He says, for my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it.
Right.
And that has been the driving force of our message in here. Why would we ignore the plethora of written documentation on this subject, the concerns of the men who wrote the fifth article of the Constitution, the intentions of those in Congress? Why would we just simply dismiss that, not see it, and not hear it? And in return for that perspective that we teach here, I am constantly dodging arrows and darts by people who, number one, have obviously never read personally anything that I've said, but are just simply repeating the garbage that they've heard, the lies. Lies, absolutely, I'll just say it, they're lies. Repeating, continuing to repeat the lies. And number two, have never spoken to me personally. Never spoken to me personally.
Now, you're an attorney, so is this a legal problem? I mean,
yes, this is a legal.
They're making up like this latest thing, the Tara thing, Tara Ross thing, a complete and utter fabrication, which can potentially, and I think probably, and actually has.
It has, because
we've had people say you can't come here, you can't be on the radio station, you can't do this, you can't do that, because of these things. In fact, you just had.
Just
so this is impacting
Florida.
On like your work,
right?
Like it's costing you potential engagements, revenue, right? Isn't that what do you call that? Slander or libel or something?
Well, slander and libel, so, depending on whether it's words or printing.
So, I mean, it's complete fabrication. So you had the one guy on the radio said, "Oh, we can't have you on here." Or somebody says they can't have you on here because of this, and then you called and talked personally and had the same conversation, and it ended up the same way. Oh, wow, that sounds very reasonable. These are legitimate concerns. Blah blah blah. So you're not anti.
Right. Let me make a clarification of that, because I was invited to be on a radio show where the whole line and directive of that show is a convention of states. And the scheduling of that interview was actually being established through Janet. When the sponsors of that show came out and said, no, we will not have Chrisanne Hall on this show because she's an enemy to the movement, right? So this is another party. So I contact the guy who's trying to do the scheduling, because he tells Janet, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to schedule Chrisanne. Our leadership does not want Chrisanne. We don't want to hear. The whole words were, our listeners don't want to hear what she has to say, right? So I get on the phone and I talk to him personally. And again, like you said, the conversation comes back.
Yeah.
Now, I am still not welcome on that show, but he is welcoming me on his show.
Right.
So here we have these lies that are preventing me from having an invitation that was initially made.
Yeah.
Right? So let me tell you.
That's a legal, that's a basis for.
That is a legal
a lawsuit.
Issue. Now, I am an attorney, but I am not litigious.
Right.
I don't believe in suing people off the drop of the hat. But I believe that people are welcome to their opinions. They're welcome to refuse, whatever.
But we're also not in high school, and we don't believe in playing these juvenile games either.
Right. And for 5 years, I have ignored this garbage. I've ignored it. And I'm fed up. I'm done. I'm done. I'm serious. I'm not playing these junior high name-calling, tribalistic battles. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. We're not on the playground, and I'm not trying to be best friends with your best friend.
So folks better have their story straight.
You better get your story straight, and I'm going to say this on the air right now. Listen to me. Mr. Ferris, Mark Mettler, the state leaders of conventions of the state, it stops now. It absolutely stops now. I'm not hearing any more of it. And from this day forward, there must be a correction of this. Now, I'm not asking them to make public statements at this point in time. I'm just saying if I hear any more of this garbage from the leadership of Convention of the States, I'm going to be issuing cease and desist letters and demanding public apologies. I am done with this. This is ridiculous. I don't have time to... I am literally... from minute to minute to minute, working every single day of our lives in this effort to teach people on the Constitution, of which the fifth article of the Constitution is part. And I don't have time to stop and deal with this nonsense. And now that it's actually, that it continues to interfere with our ability to give the truth about the history and the foundation of America, this is actually becoming an obstacle to what we're trying to do. I'm not playing the game anymore. Is that reasonable?
Yeah. I don't know why you have to name Chris Ann Hall to teach about the Convention of States.
Why does it have to be about for me or against me? Who am I to you?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. And like I said, we're done with that. I'm not saying any more about it. The next thing that happens is that letters will be issued. I am with my husband and co-host JC Hall. And before this show is over, I have to mention to you something very, very important that happened. Yesterday, the Ninth Circuit issued the opinion that the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment guarantees a right to openly carry a gun in public for self-defense, finding that Hawaii overstepped its authority to regulate firearms possession outside the home. This is huge.
Yeah.
This is huge. This could send shockwaves through the entire country. They're talking about a open carry law.
Yeah.
And the three-judge panel on the Ninth Circuit makes the San Francisco-based court of the Sixth U.S. Circuit to interpret the Second Amendment that way and sets a path towards the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that very fact that this now sets the path to the U.S. Supreme Court proves why the Ninth Circuit gave the opinion that they gave.
Mm-hmm.
They are terrified of this new court.
Yep.
Terrified. You know why? Because most people don't realize this, because we live with this mentality in America that you cannot question a federal judge.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they've lived with this power for so long, they cannot, it makes them crazy to think that they're going to be questioned.
Yeah.
And
they hate to be overturned.
The most terrifying thing to a federal judge is being overturned.
Yeah, and this
court, they will change their ideology now.
Yeah, well, this court's the most overturned court, but I think in times past, they looked up, let's say, mm-hmm. at the Supreme Court, And they thought, it's a crapshoot. You know, maybe we will, maybe mm-hmm. we won't. Maybe we win, maybe we lose. But now I think they're looking and saying, 100%, we're going to get overturned. So they're sort of falling in line, right?
So this one of the judges in the panel, Judge O'Scanlan, wrote in his opinion, "We do not take lightly the problem of gun violence, but for better or for worse, the Second Amendment does protect a right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense." Now, this is not an opinion that you would have seen from the Ninth Circuit 6 months ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
No way. No way. This is the same circuit who would, by the way, have upheld the ban on the magazines came out of right. California. Remember, just a few days ago, they actually upheld the injunction preventing California from outlawing, enforcing the law to outlaw high capacity magazines. Mm-hmm. This proves in our society, not constitutionally speaking, but in our society today, where we have been completely brainwashed and indoctrinated, not only into federal supremacy, but a specific type of federal supremacy called judicial supremacy.
Yeah, the courts rule America.
The courts rule America, and this proves that what Donald Trump is doing is one of the most powerful things that will happen in America's history. It ought not be that way. It ought not be that way because Congress, or because our founders did not vest the judiciary with this kind of power.
The court shouldn't have that kind of power.
They shouldn't have that kind of power.
What do you call it? Assumed authority?
Yeah, an assumed authority.
When we stand by and accept that.
We accept that the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter. We accept that they cannot be questioned. Yeah. We accept that they are, that their opinions become law of the land.
And we teach it in law schools.
And we teach it in law schools. We teach it in grade schools.
Almost all attorneys believe it.
Right. I think I talked yesterday about the discussion that I had on the internet, social media, with a lawyer who believed that the Supreme Court opinions become the force of law.
Stare decisis basically creates rulers out of judges.
With unquestionable opinions,
which is really strange. The whole idea of the stare decisis, right, is precedent, which, you know, once a precedent is overturned, and they are, I mean, that undermines the whole notion of it.
Yeah, that they're unchallengeable. Well, I want to thank you guys for the show today. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I want to ask you to please share this show with anybody you hear talking about me bad. But share this show with everybody anyway, because this is a very, very important thing. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let me know.